How you doing, everybody? And welcome back to Keeping It Real with two L's, because our lessons learned will lessen your L's. Hey, I am here with Corey. He is our program coordinator at Recovery Resource of Atlanta Midtown. And Corey, I just want to ask you a simple question. We're getting into the holidays, you know, and we'll be having maybe a quick break, or maybe you'll take over for next week. How about that?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah? All right, deal. All right, we're going to have a little splash from Corey for next week on next Friday. But Corey, you know, we're talking about, you know, our lessons learned and how we can lessen, you know, other people's L's or losses. Is there a time in recovery that you learned something that you believe others could benefit from?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I felt like discouraged during my first couple of months. Mm-hmm. I would say the lesson I learned is that no matter how many times your brain tells you that you need something, that you don't need everything that you think that you need. It's just your, I'm sorry. it's just your head telling you, trying to get you involved into something that you know you don't need. Like for myself, I remember when I stopped smoking, like I would have banged my head against the wall, and like the urges were just there. And what I learned from that is that because I was so used to using that to get away from something, that I was not tackling my own problems. Mm-hmm. And I learned that in order for me to move forward, I had to go straight at the problem itself. And after like weeks and months, I finally got to the point where I was like, yeah, what is your problem, Corey?
Hey. So what was the problem?
The problem was depression.
All right. And, okay.
I was depressed because I felt like I wasn't enough for everyone around me.
Right.
And so, you know, I tackled it with like therapy and tackled it with conversation with others.
Right.
And finding out that I'm enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is like, I feel like that's it, at times that is a big life struggle. I mean, anybody and everybody, you know, whether they're, you know, using drugs and alcohol to kind of numb themselves or to change their perspective or to be somebody else or anything like that, or they're not, you know, depression, and I think mental health in general is a definitely a part of, you know, why people, you know, use and try and change their mindset. So you were talking about, you know, your brain telling you these different things, you know, and some people may call them like triggers,
yeah.
You know, but I'm not sure that that's what it is. But like when you, in the early days, what were some of your triggers?
It would probably be social events.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Social events, like, and trying to be cool.
Right.
Trying to be,
fit in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trying to get conversations started.
Right.
Just to,
you know,
just to even say, hey.
Right. No, liquid courage, you know, and then, yeah. You know, and anything else, you know, to be able to fit in. And that, I mean, it speaks to what's going to be happening right now. A lot of people are going home, you know, to their families that may or may not be in recovery. They may also, you know, be, for me, it was, when I had a little stint when I was trying to clean up, I went home from college and went back to my high school, you know, where I went to high school, where my folks still lived. And I was hanging out with my high school friends that were still drinking and using or whatever it was. And it was really awkward to kind of, you know, it's almost, you know, a defeating thing to say, oh no, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then the whys, and then the, oh, you're cool, you're okay. You know, just one type of thing.
You're not that type of drunk.
Right.
You can survive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can make that work, you know, yeah, it's just a momentary fix or something like that, or yeah, you know, and there is those pressures, that social pressures. Were there any other triggers? Like for me, you know, even when I later decided definitely I'm going to be clean, when I went out on the water, you know, if I was like paddleboarding, or if I was like going out on a hike or something like that, you know, I was always like, this is awesome, but it could be even better, if I was smoking or something like that. And I was able to kind of, you know, more so find myself in the silence, you know, of what was going on and in the calm and get through some of those moments. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Voices were, you know, my head would be telling me one thing or another. Imagine it's kind of same. Were there any times like that?
Yeah. Early days? Since I'm very introverted, a lot of times I hate the sound of silence. Mm. So when I was alone and I was going through all of that, I would, when I had nothing to do and I was coming from work and I was just laying on my bed, I had that moment where I was like, all I had was my thoughts. Like, right. Thinking alone was just a trigger.
Yes. Yes.
And so, like, yep. What I did was I just recently got like a Chromecast and I would Chromecast like YouTube videos of people talking and like hour long conversations and podcasts and just listen to other people there to just have the presence of somebody else so I can be involved in the conversation or whatever they're talking about.
Right. Were there any like any individuals or thought leaders or people, individuals that you would put on more likely than others?
Yeah. I put on like, I'm going to be very obscure for the people that are listening, but like Game Grumps, one of my favorites.
Nice.
I put like Sleepy Cast, one of my favorites is Oni NG, Stamper. They're usually voice actors. They say a lot of weird and demented things.
Yep. Okay.
Whenever I'd laugh, I'd put myself in a position where I'm like, oh yeah, I get involved in whatever they're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
All right.
And for the most part, like, just it was a lot to deal with like family and like all of them, and like even still to this day some of my family members still smoke,
right,
and being around them is
it's tough,
yeah, because they don't care.
No.
they'll just have like a blunt just like right there, just
right,
like, okay,
and and they know, and it's been like years and they still, you know, this is like the 12th time I've seen you and you know it's not something I do anymore, but
yeah. They'll have the saying where they'll say like, oh, are you done with the recovery thing yet? Are you gonna be able to smoke?
Right. I know. And it doesn't make it any, it never makes it any easier, you know, because you almost, you know, because then you're, that there's moments, there's awkward silence, and then there's awkward silence after someone asks you a question like that, you know, and it's like, man, I feel like I almost got to separate myself from this situation, even more than after you ask somebody, you know, a question, and they look at you like you're from, you know, another world or something like that, and you have to, like, sit in that social situation. But this is someone you knew, and they knew you prior to, and you seemed all right, or be able to handle yourself, you know, so it's like, all right, now you've been away from it so long, so now you can come back, and it's like, nah.
Exactly.
It's like, that's not how that works. At least not for, at least not for me, that never worked.
Definitely nice. For the most part, like, I usually go about where I'm thinking about, like, oh, I say, oh, yeah, it's something that's there, and I feel like once that happens, you know, that overarching depression is still always looming over me.
Right.
So if I just jump back in, it's going to be like the first time. And
right,
the first time is going to get me to the point where I'm like, oh, yeah, this is how it felt.
Right.
This is how feeling, quote unquote, happy feels.
Right.
And
right.
So I know that won't do anything for me.
No, certainly not in the long run. I mean, like, if you're, you know, living in, and I felt like for so many years I was living in some sort of like minor crisis mode, you know, and I was, you know, doing something to change my perspective, you know, and then whether I was drinking or using drugs, you know, and then I'd be in that moment, but then I would wake up and I'm still my same old, you know, beat up, you know, miserable self, you know, and not able to make, you know, right choices or commit to any, you know, employment that keeps me moving, you know, so it's just like short game or this long game, and is that moment in time worth it to, you know, go back to that? Because it is. I mean, and that's the sad part about, you know, using and all the rest of that. You know that that's always there.
Yep.
You know, and when things get tough, which they will, and they continue to. And once you think you've peaked one valley of life, you know, you get to go ahead and see that, oh, man, there's a whole nother one, you know. And maybe to get there, I got to dip down and go all the way through this, you know. But it's just not, you know, so that's interesting, you know, social situations and even, you know, by yourself trying to conquer these triggers or your mind saying, hey, you know, I got this outlet, because you do, you know that it's been there for you before, right? You know, it is your best friend. Is there anything else in terms of like lessons or things that you, practical things that you did in the very beginning? Like a lot of people say, you know, have an exit plan, you know, when you go into these social situations, you know, or have like a reason that you can leave if that's something that's, you know, better for you. Is there any other strategies?
Well, typically I do. I do have some exit plans. I'll always like have my mother, ironically.
Hey,
where I'll text her and say, hey, can you call me and say you have an emergency? I have the phone like I'm the highest value.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Then she'll be like, oh, okay. And I'll be like, all right. So without a doubt, she'll just immediately have my support. Will support me. And give me an out to any social situation.
That's good.
If I have the time, like I want to share something.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you want to share?
It's gonna be long.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So, for the most part, when I was first like stopping, like starting my recovery, I did it really unconventional. Well, I wouldn't say unconventional, but different.
Right.
For the most part, and I stopped cold turkey.
Okay.
So, it made me look back at like all the things that were going on. So when I stopped, I realized that my bed's on the floor for the first time.
Okay.
I realized that I had cigarette butts and blunts all around the floor of my room.
Okay.
And I started looking at it, and I was just like, God, this is my life.
Yeah.
And this right here is where I am. And I was thinking, like, I had such a haze of my own reality that I didn't realize on how much of a box I put myself in.
Right.
And it just made me more depressed for the most part, of course.
Yes, initially. Yeah, I imagine. That would make me, feel a certain kind of way, too.
Yeah. And I just looked at it, and this is why, and I'm going to put a shameless plug here.
Let's do it.
This is why I even thought about the recovery respawn. Because, like, when I was, like, down and out, and I bought my first PS4.
Okay.
I bought that, and I would play like difficult games, and I would tie it to myself. Like I would play a game called Bloodborne, where it's like it's out to get you.
Right.
You're the person that everybody's out to get you because for no reason,
right?
For as far as you know, and
right.
And you're trying to defend yourself, and at the end of the game, you become the thing everything else fears.
Nice.
And you become the hunter that everyone else fears. And at the end, for me, I felt like all throughout that darkness, I became something that all the things that came into my head feared.
Right, right. So you had control. You had, in the end, you had the power.
Yeah.
Right.
And I would say it's maybe a little bit unconventional for certain people, but for the most part, I do feel like video games and the things that I'd watch just to, you know, make me laugh and get me happy, they
help
me through those dark times. And now I'm no longer sleeping on the floor.
Right. With ashy cigarettes and blood to all the rest of that, got the bed frame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got the bed frame and the box spring and all the rest of that. Yeah. But I mean, like, if you think about it, you know, we're in a state of mind, and we want to get out of that state of mind.
Yeah.
And you were able to, instead of using drugs or alcohol, you were able to use videos that made you smile and you laugh, you know, and made you think, and also video games, you know, that pulled you in, you know, and also changed, eventually ended up changing that perspective. And it was something that you could do, not so much that, you know, it wasn't it wasn't a distraction. It was, you know, it had a purpose. You know, video games had a purpose, you know, in improving your mental health. So speak about, talk about that. Because, I mean, Recovery Respawn is a program that we have here. And even I, when I first came in, I was like, okay. I was like, let's talk through this. Because it also is like the tale of the times, right? Where video game addiction is now like a topic or whatever it is. So everyone kind of looks at that, you know, and then also it's the video games that's making people go out and shoot a bunch of people or whatever that is, you know. So there's this negative connotation on it, you know, in mainstream politics or whatever. But at the same time, there's a massive esports league, you know, and Twitch and community, a gaming community that's kind of bridging off, you know, and building out. So talk about Recovery Respawn.
Recovery Respawn is a recovery-based gaming program where we talk about issues and we work through things like anger, depression, goal-orientated situations, and we also try to just have a normal conversation that can be brought up in day-to-day activities. 'Cause for the most part, when you have just regular conversation, you'll talk about like, oh yeah, how are you, guy? And you're just saying, oh, I'm good. I'm good. But when you're sitting on the couch with your friend and you're kicking some somebody's
when you're in full on combat digitally,
you'll blurt out some unconventional words, and then at the same time you'll be like, oh yeah, my wife just cheated on me,
right? Exactly.
and for the most part, you know, don't be that extreme, but it does bring a community to common ground.
Right.
And when you have that community and you mix it with struggle and like hardship, you have conversation based on like what's going on. There's been several times where I've used games to find out how a person reacts to something. When when I had a conversation with like Calvin, and I found out that he lives himself in a box based on how many times he hits something or how many times he keeps trying to do the same exact thing when we were playing Tekken. Tekken is a video game that is a fighting video game where you are used to exert out different emotions like anger or frustration. And when a person is exerting so much anger and frustration, you can see, and this is actually a pro tip from like video game professionals. That's why a lot of times they'll cheese out a bunch of like combat tactics where they'll wipe out your mind to get you distracted, to get you upset, to get you mad. Because when you're mad, you're unfocused. And when, for the most part, a lot of times, whenever I would go into a game in combat with them, I'll try to get them unfocused to see how they react under pressure.
Right.
And when they react under pressure, they usually act in a way that shows how they act in a day-to-day life.
Right.
And, so when we have those sit-downs and we play those games together, I'm able to look down and see how they go about their day-to-day mindset.
Right. It's almost like tapping in subconsciously to how they would react in real life, you know? And you do that through bonding, and you do that through that build, that relationship build. And it's interesting. I remember the first, when I finally started getting hip to what you were doing here, you know, I started thinking back to when I was in, you know, high school, and it was weird. You know, you'd sit on a couch and you're shoulder to shoulder and you're both looking at the screen and playing the video game. So there is some kind of connection there, you know, but, you know, and once the wins and the losses and the trash talking and all the rest of that kind of stuff, you know, then you would bring, but you would also start bringing up being like, hey man, you know, stuff at home, you know, isn't right. I think my girlfriend's, you know, got a wandering eye, or what do you think about what this person said, and you know, and it wasn't a face to face, a direct, you know, conversation. Mm-hmm. There was like less, it was less intimidating, yeah. you know, to have that conversation, because it was also in the midst of, you know, oh, got you on this one, or yeah. touchdown, you know, and then you would come back to it or not, you know, mm-hmm. but it, at least it was like an ability to release and communicate yeah. without that. You know, like therapy is like face to face. You're in a room. It's quiet. They're listening intently, and it's like, oh man, like I don't know, like really, yeah, there's lots of pressure. Otherwise, you know, you can kind of move and shake, you know, and build from it. You know, but I think you're right in terms of that bond, and like that's an interesting, you know, where you almost, you know, because even therapists like bring up certain topics to like see where the anger comes up or see where the depression comes up, whereas like you can. You know, get into their mind differently to see how they can play the game. I don't know if it's the same of when I'm playing back in the day. For a little while, I played Battleship online, nice. And I decided to buy headphones to hear whatever it was saying. And A, it is hilarious, you know, because I mean, there's like a different language. There's like three different languages, and like someone that's like their voice is cracking. Like I'm like, you were 7 years old talking all this junk, you know. It is, you know, but it would. Either make me laugh or when someone, I was on a hot streak and someone would, you know, would kill me or whatever it is, shoot me at that point in time, it would take me off and I would be like gunning for them or trying yeah, to like go after yeah, them. And then I would yeah. just, it would shake up my whole game, mm-hmm. you know? So I mean, that is a part of it for sure.
Yeah. That's the reason why, teabagging is a thing.
What's that?
yeah. So like, in like first person shooters, yeah. Like the Call of Duties or the Halos,
right?
What they'll do is they'll shoot you, and then your dead body is there for the respawn,
right?
And so they'll go in front of your character,
right?
And they always do a kill cam,
yes.
And then in the kill cam, you'll see the character squatting and crouching,
yes.
on your dead body.
That is right. Yeah, they do. They dance around you a little bit, you know, because on your screen, you see that where you got shot, and then you're laying there, mm-hmm. and they're just dancing around on you, and it's infuriating,
yeah.
You know, or whatever it is, or. Or, like, if they've, the first person shooter, if they've sniped you, they'll, like, jump up in the
yeah,
air.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? yeah, it is. And it's, it, yeah, it is maddening. But the first person shooters, you know, are a set of it. The combat ones are another types of game. But what are some of the other games, you know, that you've used to help, you know, kind of move the recovery respawn along?
So, one of the main ones would have to be Sims. Definitely is something that for any of the young people that we serve,
right.
Between the ages of 18 to 24, try to get them to the point where it's like if you're in some form of like poverty, or you're trying to get something accomplished,
right.
Or you're trying to get a job, or you're trying to get better with your own finances,
right.
We set up a character where we have on all three systems, where it's the two PS4s and the PC, where we have them create their own character, create a life, create a goal that you're trying to accomplish,
right.
And try to figure out how it can be done,
nice.
Based on how you want it. And
nice.
How it either can be done or how it can't be, and how long it will take.
Right.
So, and you know, of course, you know, Sims is not pinpoint on exactly on how it does.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
for the most part, if they don't have any direction, then they know how to get that direction.
Right.
And so, you know, and the process of like creating your character, making it look exactly like you, builds a connection to how that Sim lives their life,
right?
To make sure that they eat on time, because sometimes it's hard for people to eat
right.
when they need to,
right?
Use the bathroom and take care of clothes, clean and
the self care piece of it, you
yeah.
know, and you know even at the smallest level,
yeah.
you know, self care. You wonder, you know, why you're angry or you know, snapping at people, and then you realize, you know, it's 4 o'clock and you haven't eaten anything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, for the most part. When I play Sims at home, like I have my Sim has a hot temper,
Okay.
So a lot of times I never really realized that, you know, some of the ways to remedy that
right.
is to talk in the mirror.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So
some affirmations or yeah. so. Yeah, exactly. Talk just, through some stuff. All yeah. right.
And so for the most part, when someone here has had the same situation where they put themselves in a hothead and they
right. would
talk to the mirror, be like, oh, I'll tell them talk in the mirror.
Yeah.
They said, I didn't know you could do that.
Right.
And they would go and try it themselves.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, let me talk to myself in the mirror, just even if it's not even just like considered normal
right.
for the most part, but having that somebody else that is you talking
right.
to yourself and saying, okay, calm yep. down.
And you see the temper kind of drop, you know, mm-hmm. like, yeah. I mean, that's, and I think that's, you know, that's real practical, you know, to be able to kind of translate into life. And even though, yeah, I mean, it's just the process, right? People are allowed, you know, to go through that process and they're allowed to see, you know, that it does take steps and there are action things that you need to do to be able to get there. But I think it's really kind of important for people to, you know, be able to, you know, at least know that there are steps to get from A to B. It's not like, boom, I snap my fingers and now I'm someplace different, you know, or if there is no action, you know, or even uncomfortability, you know, like talking to yourself in the mirror, you'd be like, what in the world am I doing? You know, it's an interesting deal on how to be able to figure that kind of stuff out. But gaming and recovery respawn is something that we have here 3 days a week on
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
And it's available to the community. And I don't know, we look forward, you know, to having anybody and everybody, you know, that finds gaming, you know, as a therapeutic avenue for either connection or just getting your mind off of what's happening
yeah.
To come kind of showcase that here. And I welcome you all to come. I know Corey wants to see you there.
Yes.
And so this has been a product of Recovery Resources of Atlanta Midtown. The podcast is called Keeping It Real with two L's because
our lessons learned
will lessen your L's.
Yeah.
Boom. Thanks, Corey. Yeah. Have a good one. Holidays. Come to Cross. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
All right. Bye now.